بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Iranian king made up a couplet. And the essence of the couplet was Dure ablag kase kam dida bud. A blackish white pearl is something that is very rare. You don't hardly see something like a blackish white pearl. So now, in poetry, you have to have two lines. This was just half the line, and you have to complete the poetry. Otherwise, it's incomplete. Now, these words flashed, but it flashed and there was no completion to it. So now the word went out, the king made just one line and he couldn't complete it. So is there anybody that will offer himself to try and complete this? Word went around the kingdom, everybody's trying to fit it. To work it out is quite difficult, it's a task, it's an effort. In the meanwhile, this news had filtered India. And Shah Jahan's daughter, Zeybun Nisa, she heard also about it. And she heard about it. One day she was applying surma to the eye. So while she's applying the surma to the eye, so this words came in her mind. Magar ashke buta surma alud. But the tea of the beloved mixed with surma. It's got a blackish white appearance, right? Blackish white appearance. So anyway, this thing went back to Iran. You see, the Zeybun Nisa, the princess, Shah Jahan's daughter, she completed it. Ashke buta surma alud. So the king was very excited that the old Iran spoken language is Persian. They couldn't get this right. They come to India and the princess, she's got it right. So who is this princess? I want to know. I want to see her. Who's this? So the father, Shah Jahan, relayed the message to his daughter, the king of Iran wants to see you. And in a taunting way, the father says, yeah, make more poetry so you get more call out from the kings. So she said to her father, all right, just relax, I'll do something, inshallah. So she says, Makhfi manam, chu bue gul dar bar ke gul. Makhfi manam, chu bue gul dar bar ke gul. I'm concealed like the fragrance of the rose within the petals of the rose. Like it is impossible to see the fragrance that's within, so it's impossible for you to be able to see me. So that's the message you conveyed, that you want to see me, all right, it's in its place, but it's impossible for you to see me in this world and in the hereafter, unless I become your wife in the hereafter. But it's impossible for you to see me in this world because I am concealed. The level of shame and the level of haya, I'll continue this just now, inshallah. Look at the level of the haya, even in the royal families, concealed, nobody will see. No matter what you try, and then if it's a call out from the king, then it's an honor. The king had called me, I was viewed by the king. And the king at that time, king of Persia, undivided, Iraq, Iran, all together. And can you imagine now how powerful, how mighty, and he's called. And she says, no, makhfi manam chubuwa gul darbar ke gul. I am concealed like the fragrance of like the fragrance of the rose within the petals of the rose. From sometimes I'm thinking, you know, this type of majlis is for the improvement, islah, correction. It's not just a routine, not a rivaj. And then sometimes something starts off as a zarurat, as a need. When it starts off as a need, all right, we say it's a need, it's an exception to the rule, so we overlook it. But then it becomes the standard. Before it was an exception to the rule, so we allow it. But then after that, it becomes the rule. Now that's not right. So the thought that was running through my mind was woman's driving. We will not say that there isn't a need, right? There is a genuine need. So the need will allow them to drive. Right? But is it within the spirit of Islam, the culture of Islam? So we'll see, up until about 50 years, in nearly all the Islamic world, women wouldn't be driving. Right? Driving was unheard of, women wouldn't be driving. Then someone started off, zarurat, zarurat, need, need, need. Now it became like a standard. So where we started from, that no, it's not allowed, women are not allowed to drive. Then someone saw the need, one person allowed it, then can continue, now it becomes the standard. Now, there's many ways to tackle a problem. One is just to say, all right, let's try and fix it. Let's make it permissible. Let's make it work. Right. Now, that's not the spirit of Islam. Let's make it work. We don't squeeze Islam to fix it into the framework of our life. We squeeze our framework to fit it into Islam. It's two different perspectives. One is to squeeze Islam to make it work. And one is to squeeze ourselves, right, to make Islam work. Hawan muttaba'an, where the hadith speaks about following your desires. Whatever I desire for, I need to make a plan, make it work within Islam. This is what I desire. So the desire became the imam, and Islam became the follower. That's what has happened, literally. The desire, whatever I desired, that became the imam, that became the leader, and Islam became the follower. Now I'll ask you, if the imam goes behind the muqtadi, is the namaz valid? If the imam goes behind the muqtadi, is the namaz valid? Simple question. If Rasulullah is around, and if he is made to be standing behind, and the muqtadi stand in front, is that namaz correct, I ask you? So it's supposed to be the other way around. Islam give it its position. Aati kulladhi haqqin haqqahu. Give everybody his place. Islam has got a position, then respect the position of Islam. You got a position, you respect your position, you wish it must be respected, we respect it. But the position of Islam, don't you abuse that position. Okay. Now, straight away, when we will talk about this ayah and how will we manage life? How do we manage life? Because now, children have to be taken to school, brought from school, taken to madrasa, brought from madrasa, right? Then every duty is loaded onto the wife. The shopping, the groceries, the toiletries, everything, wife's duty. At the end of the year, we'll go all for umrah. How much it costs? 100,000-200,000 rand with the air tickets, the accommodations, everything. I ask you, if we had that mindset, then let us fit ourselves within the framework of Islam, we could have made a plan. Simple. We'll employ a driver for 8,000-9,000 rand a month, right? And let him do all the chores, everything, every duty that relates to outside the house. We'll make it the house of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, where Nabi Sam told her, oh Fatima, you are meant for the four walls of the house. Ali is meant for outside the house. I ask you, is that got more resemblance with the household of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or what we have innovated and started off now? Then the man finds it very convenient, anything right, just push it onto the wife. So no, I can't afford it. This is something that I can't afford. But then the Umrah trip, etc., is very much affordable. Going out for holidays to the Berghs is very much affordable. Going out here, fashion, clothing, etc., that is very, very much affordable. But this, no, we can't afford this. So, Hawan Muttaban, where we want to make it work, we can make it work. Apart from the unnecessary chores that are put onto the wife's head, and then apart from all that, then the fitna that she can or she may get herself involved in, she's exposed to a man's world. Now, if you exposed to that world, then that type of temptation will flow. You can't say that, no, I will never allow that temptation to come near me. إِذَا ثَبَتَ الشَّيْءٌ ثَبَتَ بِلَوَازِمِ Something happens, then when you start off something, then it has a consequence, right? You have dropped grease, right? The floor became very, very slippery. So you must expect someone to fall down. You must expect, it comes with it, with the package. So that woman went out, إِسْتَشْرَفَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ Shaitan will look for ways to mislead people. Somehow or the other, he'll find a way. Nabi Sam is saying it up front. By she's going to go out, then Shaitan will look for ways to mislead. Somehow or the other. Abaya is attractive, this is attractive, something else is attractive. But ways to seduce, way to mislead. And where we apply our minds, then you will find an exit. Any situation, you just have to apply your mind and you'll find an exit. So isn't that an easy solution? If you only apply our minds, all right, everything that relates to outside the house, we get a driver, we are actually empowering person. Poor son is poor, can't afford a life, we're empowering him, all right, take 7,000, 8,000 and do all the driving. Everything that is required, you do everything. Whether it's a business, whether it's the shopping, whether it is the children, whether it's a madrasa, whatever of the time of the day and night, we need some errand to be run, then we got this person to do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. And I ask you, in all this, how much won't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam be pleased? Okay, see, these people are so strict on their parda. They are so strict on my teachings. My teachings, the woman must be Fatima, you the Sayyida, you the leader of the woman of Jannat. But in spite of being the leader, the most pious and the righteous, but you will remain at home. If there was anybody that you could expect, you know, could have gone outside of the home, as Fatima, because you can't expect her to ever fall and slip into a wrong when she's declared a Jannati and the leader of the Jannati, of woman Jannati. So you couldn't expect her to go wrong. But then to Nabi says, no, you remain home. So this princess, she's conveying a message to the king. I was talking to one friend. So he says, what do we do? We tell people about, you know, things that are more important in life. That they turn around and say, no, but my labbaik was called, so I have to go. So it's an emotional proof, but it's an emotional proof. A man got jammed up, no, poor chap now. He's called, uski dawat aagayi. So he has to respond. He's got no other choice. Right, everything happens with the will and the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. The grace of Allah Ta'ala enables you to do something. Without His grace, nothing can happen, right? I want to extend this analogy, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, right? You've got your wife, your child, and your mother, right, in the house, and there's a beggar outside. Now, you're spending the money on the beggar, leaving out the wife, the child, and the mother. I say, is it right? You tell the person, no, I did it with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. If it was not for the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I wouldn't have spent. But I ask you, is that the right thing? You also saying that you have been called because of the grace of Allah Ta'ala. He's spending also because he says it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. But I ask you, is that the right thing? The grace of Allah Ta'ala and the procedure that Allah Ta'ala wants you to follow. So you thought about the grace, but you disregarded the procedure. Whereas Allah Pak is saying, مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَلِلْأَقْرَبِينَ This is a sequence that you will follow. You got some additional wealth, then there's going to be a sequence. First on who? On your parents. Right? Wife, parents, etc. These are the first on the list you're going to spend. Then wal aqrabin, then the relatives. So this is the sequence that you're going to spin. And the right of the relative is not just an additional duty. We think it's an optional thing. No, it's an additional thing, optional thing. It's not like that. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ آتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى The relative, give him his haqq. You know, a creditor comes to you, by my haqq, I want my haqq. What do you mean? My right, my obligatory right. So Allah Pak is saying, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ His haqq. Now, we'll have that additional, let's not go for Umrah. The house needs a facelift. We don't have that granite tops. The jewelry needs to be traded in. Serviced, it's outdated now. So that becomes the priority. And what Quran Sharif says, that that's the priority, and then we will do a little bit of ihsan, and we'll tell the whole world about it. You know what? You know, my auntie was not feeling well, I'm going to give her 5,000 naira. But I ask you, do you do the same thing for your child? My child, I give him every month, I give him 10,000 naira allowance. Do you say that? You don't speak about it, because you feel that he is supposed to, he's entitled to that. Whereas, if the child is all right, to spend on the child is not as necessary as to spend upon the relative. The relative that is not well off, he's in constraints, to spend on him is compulsory. آتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ The child that is well off, you don't need to spend on him. If you don't spend, you're not going to get guna. But the relative that was in constraints and you didn't spend on him, now it's going to be a guna, it's going to be sin. But the child was well off, no, I'll spend for you. Go for Umrah, take this. Go for Hajj. Spend on something lavish. Make up your home something. Buy a new car. Right? This is how the money is spent. But the tartib that the Quran Sharif says, are we following that sequence? So Khuda taha keha koi anda dun nizam nahi hai. It's not a haphazard thing. They just do things anyhow you feel. No. It's a sequence. It's a procedure. You follow the procedure and you get acceptance. As the thoughts will run past my mind, then I will talk, inshallah. So there may be something that are not related, something that is related. So excuse me for it, right? So there was a discussion about jihad, right? That's also a hot topic. So I asked the person, do you know what is jihad all about? I want to bring it to your level as a layman now. A person, right on the street now, as simple as possible. Jihad actually is to remove the impediment of deen. Any person that becomes the impediment of your deen, you remove him, smash him down. Right? The flow of your flow of Islam wants to come in, and he's becoming an obstruction, so you smash him down. So that's now the whole gist, the whole essence of jihad. That we want Islam to flow, and he's becoming an obstruction, so we'll smash him down. That's now the essence of jihad. Then I went on to explain, but we have forgotten the point. Like there can be an obstruction from the outside, there can be an obstruction from within. There's an obstruction, an impediment from the outside to practice Islam, and there can be an obstruction from within. The man looked a little bit surprised. Within, he said, yeah. Right. So understand that you have got two enemies in the outside. You've got one enemy on the outside, and you've got an enemy within. An enemy on the outside, and the enemy you've got within. Right. The enemy that you've got outside is shaitan. The enemy that you've got within is your nafs. Right. There's two enemies, right? The enemy that you've got on the outside, right, if you had struggled with him and he killed you down, he killed you, smashed you down, you became a shaheed. You've got Jannat, right? With the first drop of the blood and you got your Jannat. But the enemy that is within you, that is called the nafs, if that nafs smashed you down, then you lost your Jannat. You see the enemy on the outside. If the enemy on the outside, if it smashed you, pushed you down, killed you, you got your Jannat. But the enemy that's within, if it smashed you, then you got your Jahannam. So that means it is equally important for you to smash and to correct that enemy that's within. The wrong that is done actually by the enemy within. Right? Imagine now, right? Just to put you into perspective, there's three things that we hear of. We hear of nafs, we hear of ruh, and we hear of shaitan, right? So just give us I'll give you a little bit of an illustration, a picture, to put everything in perspective, right? So you understand it correctly. Imagine a driver with two passengers, right? Quote the picture of a driver with two passengers or two friends, right? So the one friend is saying, speed, you know. Speed, I want you to touch 300. So he's inciting him, encouraging him, right? Inciting him, spurring him up to speed. And the other one says, boy, just be careful. Don't drive recklessly. Don't drive recklessly. Just be careful. Right. Now, if the driver listens to this friend here, that he's asking him to break the limit, right, he gets into trouble, he gets a fine, or he knocks the car, gets into an accident, hurts someone, injures someone, kills someone, can he lump the blame onto the friend? Any court of law, will they accept that? So exactly, this is shaitan, and this is the nafs. Right? The nafs, the shaitan, will incite you, and he will motivate you from the outside. Aisa karna, do this. Look at this haram. Do this haram, speak about this haram. So from the outside, he'll keep telling you. He'll motivate you, incite you, spur you up. Lekin wo haram ka irtikab karne wala ye nafs hoga. But it's you that's going to be doing that haram. So therefore, on the day of Qiyamah, Shaitan will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me. You blame yourself. And you blame yourself. Why do you blame yourself? Why can't you just transfer the blame onto Shaitan? Because you had two friends. One friend was directing you to the right, and the other friend was directing you to the wrong. So you had an equal opportunity. You had the ruh. The ruh saying, no, don't you go to the wrong. You'll get into problems. You'll get into yourself, into difficulties, musibat. You'll get yourself landed in that. So the ruh was telling you, do the right. Right? The nafs was telling you, no, go on the wrong. But you had an equal opportunity to choose from the right or from the wrong. You preferred doing the wrong. So that means you also wanted that wrong. One side, shaitan was spurring you up, inciting you, and you also wanted to do the wrong. Otherwise, you had an equal opportunity to do it or not to do it. Now to lump and transfer the whole blame onto shaitan is not right. So shaitan is also saying, La talumuni walumu anfusakum. Don't blame me, you blame yourself. I don't have an authority. I didn't force it down you. I invited you, I incited you, I spurred you up. That's all I did. And thereafter, the wrong, you did it yourself. So you are responsible, you are answerable for the wrong that you have committed. See, the nafs and shaitan. Now, you've got this struggle going on all the time. The difference between the enemy without, right, and the enemy within, there's a difference, right? This enemy that's within, you have to fight it all your life. This enemy that's on the outside, you smash it down, it's gone, khalas, right? Went away. But that enemy that's within you, it's a lifelong struggle. Today, hey, look at this haram. No, I can't look at it. Struggle, isn't it? Isn't it a struggle? Do, don't do. Do, do, don't do. Right? It's a struggle. Right? Tomorrow, this person, he spoke to me a little bit in a rough manner. And the nafs is saying, give it to him. Right? The nafs is saying, give it to him. He deserves it. Give it to him. Give him a mouthful. But no. You're making jihad again. No, I won't say. Because my Islam teaches, أحسن إلى من أساء إليك. He's been rude to me. He's been impolite towards me. My Islam doesn't say me that I must be rude and impolite towards him. My Islam says, أحسن إلى من أساء إليك. He's been rude, so you show him mannerism. You show him akhlaq. You show him the right values. He's doing the wrong thing. But does that mean that you also must lose out your values? (Clears throat) it was in Saharanpur, you know. Mullah Yahya Sahib is the father of the Sheikh al-Hadith, Mullah Zakaria Sahib, rahmatullah. What I'm showing you, the nafs comes in different, from different avenues. Sometimes we think, no, we got the eyes under control, so we got the nafs under control. It's not just one-sided. Different perspectives, different avenues it comes and attacks. The eyes, the tongue, from different avenues it will come and attack you. And the tongue is so serious, right, that the hadith says that on account of the misdoings of your tongue, wrongs of your tongue, many people are going to Jahannam. So if the eyes is an enemy, it's your enemy, the tongue is an equal enemy. It's misleading you right to Jahannam. As Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, something like this to say, Yaad rakho, ke Musalman ki adna se adna dil azari se tumhare amal beronak ho jate hai. Bare se bare amal beronak ho jata hai. It's approximate words, right? You hurt the Muslim to the slightest. You did everything, Quran Sharif, Zikr, Namaz, Tri Haram, through everything you did. But equally what happened, Musalman ke dil ko dukhaya. You hurt that Muslim, right? Musalman ki adna se adna dil azari se, bare se bare amal ki rona khatam ho jata hai. That with hurting that Muslim, slightestly, the splendor of your good deed, everything is wiped off. Imagine you've got a 10 liters of good quality milk, right? And you put just one teaspoon of lemon juice. The splendor of the milk, what happened? Just one teaspoon, it was enough, one teaspoon to spoil the splendor of that milk. The value of the milk is gone. You ask someone, I need milk for making tea. Can it work? Just one teaspoon. So that's one word also can destroy. So dangerous. So Mawlana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, sometimes people want to know, why you only speak about the don'ts, why don't speak about the do's? So alhamdulillah, our Tablighi brothers speak a lot about the do's, Fazail Amal, right? So there must be someone to speak about the don'ts as well. Then the package is complete, right? Because life means the both. It doesn't mean only you must eat. It tells you, all right, you must diet also. Do this as well. So only going to eat and not diet, not do the correct diet, are you going to have the right health? So similarly, will you have the right type of a spiritual health? You're just doing things, but you're not avoiding the wrong, then will you have the right type of a spiritual complement? The complement will be imbalanced. So like we need to press the right, then we need to resist. A car, if it's got an accelerator, it must have a brake. As important as the accelerator is, so is the brake important. You're not going to brake at the right place. It's going to be a destruction. It's going to be a ruin. So within you, you've got that brake. And the Quran and the Hadith wants you to use that brake. When you're supposed to be using that brake, use that brake. Call it jihad, call it a brake, call it resistance, call it whatever. But that brake has to be applied. The tongue is edging, I must say it. So Mona is in his bookshop, right? And one person comes around and he swears Mulana. Well, he's a buzruk of the time, right? Great buzruk of the time, so popular, so great, that Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas and Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria is his products. Basically, if you look at it primarily, look at the lives, then it is what he put into their lives. And these two people were so illustrious that they filled the world literally with their nur. With their nur, they filled the entire world, right? Now this man, look at his life. See, when you've seen a person, a personality, right? Then don't look just at the end product. See what went into him. Now we look here, all right, they did so much of great work, let us also do that work. But did you see what went in making the personality? Do we see that? We only look at the end product. See what he's doing. See the istima, this, whatever, all his products, right? So we looked at that. But what went in making that happen, that we didn't see. So this person walks into the bookshop, and he's swearing Maulana. So Maulana's tying a parcel of kitabs. He just looked at him for a second and he continued. That person swore, kept on swearing. Maulana is not interested. His routine was he would complete a khatam in the day. So he's reciting his Quran Sharif. That person swore, whatever abuse, insult he wanted to insult, he did his thing and he went away. Maulana's one attendant was there, some Munshi Hussein or something. So he was around. So he spoke to Maulana. He said, Maulana, tumhare muh mein zuban nahi, tumhara thook koi sook gaya, you don't have a tongue, your saliva is all dried out. He swore you like this and he insulted you like this and you didn't respond to him at all. What's wrong with you? Say something at least. So Maulana looked at him for a moment and he continued again. Now that irritated him even more. Maulana, you're treating me like how you're treating your enemy there. He became really worked up. So Maulana told him, very composed, very calm. Maulana tells him, "Ore, tumhare muh mein to thook hai, sukha nahi, aur tumhare muh mein zubaan hai, tum jawab de do. You've got a tongue and your spit hasn't dried out, so you give the answer. Khalas, end of the story, complete. Now I ask you, if someone has to give one insulting word today to us, one insult, one swear word, that will be stuck in the memory. You know this person, what he did? He reads namaz, makes zikr, he wears kurta, and you know what he did to me. You people don't know the other side. You're only listening to one side. You all don't know what the other side is all about. So these great luminaries, they came about. There was a lot that was done within themselves, their own nafs. They did a lot into the nafs. And Allah Ta'ala gave them that light, like the sun, literally like the sun, or even more than the sun, right? Because of what they put within themselves. So we were talking about nafs and the shaitan, right? We spoke about jihad. So you got a jihad within yourself going on. And the jihad will come from different dimensions, sometimes from the eyes. Now look at this sight here, look at that sight. We're approaching the month of Ramadan, so it's a little bit of a preparation, right? So I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but I ask the children this in the madrasa many a times. Whoever's got a smartphone, you know, I don't think it's so smart as they say, right? Smartphone, a little bit of an upgraded one, right? So I want to know fairly from anyone that has got that type of a phone, right, that he was Googling something, some Islamic site for a masla, etc. And in the process, nothing haram popped up. But more, that's accidental. An accidental is maaf. So they know the maslas, right? So I ask you, all right, you drove, you know you're going to make an accident. You know you're going to make an accident. But you kept on driving. Today the damage is 20,000, tomorrow 50,000. You know you're going to make that accident. Are you going to continue? For your car, are you going to continue? No, that means too much. 20,000 today, 30,000 tomorrow. No, I can't afford this. But the accident that you are doing to your ruh, to your soul all the time, all the accidents, you're looking at this and this, intention is to look at the right side. But I ask you, are the wrong things popping up or not? Are you becoming a popcorn or not? The damage that you are bringing, is it happening or not? That is just one of the wrong that's happening on this type of sides, right? It's a whole host of guna. You look at this apps and all that. It's a whole host of gunas. Sometimes there's ghibat getting on. And you are listening to his story, right? He's backbiting that person and you're listening. You're reading it. The backbiting doesn't have to be only spoken or heard directly. You can read about it. Sometimes it is a false allegation. Unfounded, baseless. But you heard it, now you're believing it. You belong to a group and came into the group, so you're reading it. Now whether it is the truth or not, Allah Pak knows. But now on the one side you're doing so much in the month of Ramadan, Khatam, etc., then you're deleting. You're reading and you're deleting. You're reading and deleting. As Mullah Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, under the verse, Iqra kitabak kafabi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. 15 Sipara, Bani Israel. So he says, on the day of Qiyamah, one person will get his book of deeds, Namai Amal. Right? And he will complain to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I did this deed and that deed and whatever other deed I've done. And I don't see any mention of this in my books of deed. I mean, three harams, I did so much of tawaf, I did that umrah, I made khatam, and I performed my tarawih. But there's no mention about this in this book here. So Allah Ta'ala will tell him, yes, you did all these things here. Lekin saath saath aapne falan ki ghibat bhi ki thi. Aapne falan ki chugli bhi khayi thi. You have done that, it's true, you have done that. But you had engaged in ghibat, in gossip, etc. This is not deleted for you. So when I looked at the whole hadith, what is the thing that destroys? You know, there must be something that preserves and something that destroys. So from the Quran and the hadith, there's two things that's very, very prominent. One is to hurt. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. So the good that you've done and you're destroying it, wiping it out, how are you hurting the person? Sometimes physically in his presence and sometimes in his absence. It's also hurt. If I get to know that you made ghibat of me in my absence, right? Won't I feel hurt? I feel hurt, so you're hurting the person. So the good that has been acquired and is being deleted, is being wiped out. You acquired the good and then you're deleting the thing. So at least if we know what's good for ourselves, from now we practice at least for 40 days, 6 weeks, we leave all these things out. Just take a basic phone, just the phone and an SMS, that's all. I don't want to hear anything additional. I don't want to see anything additional. Sometimes you don't know the message is true or not true. You know the person. There's a fatwa now, so-and-so signed it. You know the person. You don't know his credentials, credibility, you don't know anything. So no, it's signed by a mufti sahab. But do you know the credentials? You know the credibility? Do you know anything about it? Now you're just going on it. Is that right of you? Yes, find out from the ulama that are local, abroad, someone that knows about it, how authentic, how reliable all this is, before you get into it. In ja'akum fasikum binaba'in fatabayyanu. The Quranic command is, an unscrupulous person comes, then you must investigate, find out. Don't just go by it. Otherwise, you get every type of quack. You get a quack doctor, a quack engineer, you get a quack mulana also. You don't know whether the man is worth that title or not, but he's signing. I mean, he's signing. Did you go and investigate? Did you go and find out whether the man has got the credit or not? But he's signing for it. Did you go and find out? Did you go and investigate how he's rated? How do they accept him? Does he know his stuff, etc.? Did you find all these things here? So anyway, we're talking about the nafs and the jihad that goes on. So this jihad here, you smash down the enemy, he's gone, khalas, end of the story. But this jihad is continuous. Today with the eye, tomorrow with the tongue, the next day with the ear. I was in the lounge one day, so one man came to visit me, right? And a small child, 6, 7 years of age, so that Ola ice cream van went past, and that he got his music, right? So as that music is running, that father has got his feet like this, stamping on the ground. So Abba, Abba, you do something wrong, eh? You're going with the beat here. A small child, he can make out the guna also. So you don't need a rocket scientist to prove to you that this is the guna. No, the child made out straight away that Abba was doing something wrong. But I admire the father, he didn't take offense. But although the father was corrected in my presence, but the father didn't take offense. Hey, you know, you disgraced me from Tizab. He didn't take offense. Some people are big hearted, alhamdulillah. You point out their mistakes, they accept it. So that jihad is continuous. Do it, and something within is telling you, don't do it. Don't we have that? We have both these forces within us. Do it, don't do it. Do it, don't do it. Until a person listens to his nafs and he becomes enslaved. When he becomes enslaved, now he's dropped his guard. Now there's no resistance. There's nothing within him saying, don't hold back, don't do it. So he's broken that guard, he's broken that brakes. So in some respects, the jihad that is fought within is even more meritorious, more rewarding than the jihad that is on the outside. Because this is all the time, sometimes with the eye, sometimes with the tongue, sometimes with the ear, with the ear. Sometimes in your business dealings, right? I need to pay my creditor 3 million, right? But we're doing it now, we're doing it on the side casually, so I need to pay him. Right? So I'm not so particular. I need to pay the banks, I will go and pay them, because I know they'll attach something. I'll get into a legal problem. But this person here, I'll just stretch him. I'll pull him. Not paying him. He gave me that 2 months, but I'll drag it for 3 years. It's all right. What can he do? Because it was Uplang, so how is he going to catch me? Man doesn't realize ke niche to tum lang honge, upar lang hai ya nahi. You can be limp here, lame here. You can be lame here. That lame is all right. But upstairs, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You think Allah Ta'ala is blind? He didn't make a record of that. So that thing is coming out all the time. No, I'll stretch him. I'll pull him. Now that jihad is more important than that other jihad. You're stretching this person. You're pulling him. You're suppressing his rights. And you don't care anything about it because you feel there's no recourse. He's got no recourse legally. That he's got a legal recourse. He's got no legal recourse. So I don't have to worry about him. Remember, the court is not the interrogation process of the day of Qiyamah. The court, many things may be legal. Maybe many things may be legal, right? You got a casino, the money is totally legal, right? Isn't it legal? It's totally legal. But is it acceptable? It's haram. We know that it's haram. The interest may be totally legal, but is it acceptable? What we need to see is that wealth, is it coming in conformity with the Sharia standards? Now we're stretching that person, and if you know, no, I can do my umrah, I can do this, I can make this investment here, I'll go and invest this thing here, I'll turn this money around. I'm going to pay him the 3 million, money's out of the system. Yeah, I'll put into investment, I'll turn this money around. The profits, I'll go and give it to him. All that working out and conniving, Allah Pak is taking a reward of it. So this nafs is going to come in different ways. Not in one single way, it's going to come in different ways. And at every front, you'll have to smash the nafs down. At every front, whether it's eyes, whether it is tongue, whether it is ears, whether it is the heart. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. You're answerable for the eyes, for the tongue, for the ear, even for the conspiracies of the heart that I just explained. All you're going to be answerable for. So the jihad is constant there. Azadji Rahmatullah was given an incident, you know. One student was in the madrasa, and now there was a call for jihad somewhere. Right? So his nafs is racing, I must go to the jihad. But the students of old, what they used to do is, they knew there was some elder. There was some elder senior, he's seen time. His hair is not whitened through the sun. You know, he's got a lot of experience with him. So let's go and find out. I got a father, I got parents, I got ulama, I got Buzuganadin who's seen time. Let me go and find out from them, is this the right thing? So there's a call there, and then there's an urge to go, like how youngsters, it's an urge. So anyway, he went and spoke to the senior Buzug of the time. This is the urge that's coming within me, and must I respond to this? So the Sheikh tells him, you see, this jihad is not farz-e-ain. It's not compulsory on every individual. No. It's just compulsory for that locality, that area. So it's not compulsory for everybody. But then this youngster is asking, but why am I getting so tempted? You know, like how these people are saying, we're for Umrah, labbaik pukara gaya. I got a call. So I got a call to go for jihad. Why is that? Why is it that my nafs is just racing away? So that Buzuk just laughed him out and told him, see, what your nafs is telling you, you see, in disciplining the nafs here, all the time, hey, do this, don't do it. Don't do it, don't do it. Do it, don't do it. All the time, you have to smash it down. Don't eat now. Don't drink this thing here. Don't say this, don't look at this, don't listen to this. All the time, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Get up for tajud, get up for namaz, winter, summer, come to the masjid. So do's and don'ts, all they are piling up too much, right? And they'll go for jihad, one stroke, I'll get shot, shaheed, I'm gone, finished. no effort thereafter. So one stroke, everything will finish, I got my gender straight. Here it's such a long process, so you want to circumvent this. So this is from nafs. It's not motivated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not motivated from the Quran and Hadith, it's from your nafs. Your nafs wants a shortcut. It doesn't want to go through all these processes, all this difficulty, because here you have to learn, you have to discipline yourself, correct yourself, then you have to take a small salary, go and teach somewhere, spread Islam in that area, spread Islam in this area. So all this is a constraint, it's a difficulty. So your nafs doesn't want to go through that difficulty, it wants to bypass all this difficulty and go straight. So our time is just ending up, and I need to end this poetry. So what she reads, what she said, مخفي منم شو بوء غل دربار كغل. I am concealed like the fragrance of the rose within the petals of the rose. Now, she needs to understand, all right, that this person made a request, right? He made a request. So now I need to accede, I need to show some consideration. How do I cover that side? Because he wanted to see me. So she completed the poetry and she says, Harche Didan Mel Darad Dar Sahune Ma Badi. And anybody wants to look at me, anybody wants to see me, then he must see me within my words, within my poetry. Our Ustad quoted this whole poetry. When he quoted it for us to understand what the Quran Sharif is. In this world, right, we want to see Allah Ta'ala, don't we? We have that eagerness, shawqan ila liqa'ik. We need to see Allah Ta'ala, we need to meet Him. So everybody, every Muslim has that desire, that eagerness to meet Allah Ta'ala at some time or the other. So as though it is the message of Allah Ta'ala that is being conveyed through you through this poetry, you want to see Allah Ta'ala, look at Allah Ta'ala through the pages of the Quran Sharif. And I say to my friends, that now with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, every area has got so many ulama, and many ulama are teaching in the madrasas, etc., teaching kitabs, etc. Can't we just take out one day in the week, go to one mawlana, half a page, give me the proper explanation to it. Someone that's been in tafsir and he's understood all these things, go to him, half a page, but give me a proper explanation, I can understand it, I can digest it. I don't want to make my own interpretation. The Mu'tami Sabatullah gives a story. He says, one person came across a poetry, right? Dost abayad ke girad daste dost. Dar paresha hala wa dar mandagi. Who is the true friend? Who is the right friend? The right friend is the friend who holds on to the hand of the friend. At the time of difficulty, at the time of problems, he's there to hold your hand. So he is the right friend. He learned this, and then he walks into the street. He saw his father, his brother is in a scuffle, he's in a fight, right? Altercation. Both are giving it to each other, right? He says, now I learned the poetry. What the poetry says, must hold the hand of the friend. So he went and held on to his friend's hands. Now that chap that was giving him is giving him more now. No defense. So everything stopped. That person gave him whatever he had to give him. He turned and went away. So he said, bhai, what's wrong with you? You know, you held on to my hands and this person was giving it to me. He said, no, this came in the poetry. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi, a friend, a true friend is the friend who holds on to the hand of the friend, the time of difficulty and the time of problems. And Mawlana quotes this and says, see how we can misinterpret. For us to understand things in context, right? A person is becoming a doctor, becoming an engineer. But he needed to go and live in an environment of education for approximately 18 years of his life. From pre-primary right until university, he lived in an environment. He saw that education, he slept that education, he got up with that education. Eventually now he reasons in that certain way. But after 18, 19 years, here suddenly you want to learn the Quran Sharif. Hey, I got 18 years of experience. I can study the Quran Sharif myself. I can come up to my own conclusions. I say, is it fair to the Quran? For that little bit of medicine, little bit of engineering, etc., what we thought, no, it's all right. I need to give 18 years, 19 years. He didn't do it. No, he's not a thorough person. He's not competent because he didn't have that exposure, not that type of studies, not that type of environment. So how can he be a thorough person? But the Quran said if we took it so lightly, so insignificant, we don't need that environment, we don't need a professional assistant, guide, supervision, we'll get it right. So when we take and adopt that type of approach, then we'll just add to confusion. He's giving his interpretation of something, that person is giving another interpretation, the third person is giving another interpretation. So the whole Quran Sharif has been made a kachumar. Allah Ta'ala protect. So can't we do this at least once a week? As I say, with the grace of Allah, there are so many ulama, right? And so many ulama are conversant. They do this, they teach it all the time. So we go to them at least once a week. Why just teach me this half a page? And then we ponder what Mulana said for that week. Think about it. It's a message of Allah Ta'ala. I must take it deep to my heart, understand it, try and comprehend it, digest it, apply the thing. If I'm going off, I need to go and again speak to him that this is how I understood it, this is how I'm applying it, am I doing it right? I ask you, what a treasure of wealth you'll have. How strong would your iman be? With what love and passion won't you be reciting the Quran Sharif? Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.